Cool.
All right.
3, 2, 1, clap.
Cool. We can do better than that. Come on. 3, 2, 1, clap. 3. Let's try again. 3.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen and everybody else, and welcome to a brand new episode of Freedom of Good Home, a podcast about classifieds. My name is Michael Hing, and joining me, as always, is a man who has got a takeaway coffee cup in his hands. It is Ben Jenkins. G'day, Ben. How's it going?
Hello, Michael. Yeah, I do have a takeaway coffee cup in my hands. I'm not a very confrontational person. This isn't really a confrontation. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in our guests and I can ask how he'd play this.
Absolutely. All right. Well, our guest today is an award-winning singer and songwriter. You would know him from his incredible back catalogue of songs and his recent viral fame last year with his song Catch My Disease, which resurfaced. He's got a brand new track out, which we'll get to talking about in a second. It is the wonderful Ben Lee. Hello, Ben Lee. How's it going?
It's going really good. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming. Now, here's the thing.
Uh-huh. You just right into it. There's confrontation already. I'm excited about this. I'm like, what? 30 seconds into the podcast. Okay, here we go.
I think the fact that I label this in my mind as confrontation is like probably part of the problem. But there
was it in your family? Was it hard to have open and honest conversation?
I mean,
let's get to the nub of this. Great. Yeah.
There is a coffee shop up the road, which gave me the coffee that I'm holding right now. You can't see it, listeners, but it sounds like I'm rubbing the coffee up against my mic as proof.
Awful.
They do
that
great
didn't
work.
Look like your coffee to me, but anyway, yeah.
And I've been going there a lot, especially during lockdown. I think we've spoken about in the podcast before, Ben Lee, that like in lockdown, people like baristas become like the only people outside your family you can talk to. So you tend to like talk to them a lot and you get to know them really well because they're like, all of a sudden you have this like tiny little morsel of conversation with somebody who isn't your wife or your 2.5-year-old.
Sure.
And so you're like, what are you up to? And this particular barista, I reckon I've known for like a year now. Uh-huh. And it occurred to me this morning that I didn't know her name. And I was like, oh, the moment has passed. Do you know what I mean? If ever I was going to just be like, hey, what's your name? The moment has passed.
Interesting.
But maybe it's lockdown brain. Maybe I'm just fucking carpe DMing it. I was like, I'm just going to ask her. And okay. So I just said, I was like, just a large flat white, please. And she said, sure, Ben. And I just said, what's your name? Which, like, no preamble. No, nothing, because I didn't want to. I thought if I do preamble and I do like if I try and hedge this in any way,
yeah,
it might sound weird. So in stripping back all of that, I just said, "What's your name?"
Which sounds like you're a police officer. Like it sounds like they're in trouble.
Yeah, it definitely had those vibes. It definitely had like, "What's your name? I want to complain to your manager about this."
Ben Lee, what would you have done in this situation?
Before we get to that, what was her name?
Her name, well, here's the thing. She was
and how
like,
did she respond? How did she respond?
Oh, great, yes.
Yeah,
like.
She was initially taken aback. And then I said, I just realized that you know my name because I ask for coffee and you have to write it on the lid and stuff. So
you're like, I've never written down your name on a lid.
Exactly.
Let's try it.
Let's role play this out. Like, if you ordered a coffee from me, what name would I write on the lid? No, I didn't say that. I said like, so I just feel like I should know this by now. And I even said like, I feel like I've crossed the line where like it would have been acceptable. So here
I
am.
At this point, you're fully spiraling. You're fully spiraling in the cafe.
I've got sweat dripping down my face. There's a line of about 30 people waiting. And she said, well, I'll tell you this much. Which was a good start. I like this barista. She started with, I'll tell you this much. If I was a boy, my parents were going to call me Ben. And I said, well, that is of no use to me. So I said, okay, well, I can't call you that because that's not a name.
Yep.
And I went away while they made the coffee. And then she told me that her name was Bryn.
Bryn.
So now I know her name is Bryn.
And do you think you can ever go back to this cafe
again? Oh, absolutely not. No.
Are you attracted to her?
No, I'm a happily married gentleman.
It's still, it happens. It happens. I've seen movies about this kind of thing.
Romantic comedies, I believe.
Well, series TV shows. Well, you could definitely get 6 to 8 eps.
I have to say, Bentley, that was in the back of my mind, being like, how do I make it so it's not like I'm creeping? And I think in doing that, I overcompensated to the point where it seemed like rudeness. I wanted to make a complaint about it.
Absolute rudeness.
Yeah, I mean, it's like pure Larry David kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, in trying not to sound like I was in any way interested with it, I was just like, hey, what's your name, fuckhead? Like, it wasn't good. I've been married for so long that I don't know how to have these interactions, I think. But how would you have played that, Ben Lee? You've had a barista for a year. Mm-hmm. You don't know her name. You feel like you should redress that. What would you have done?
Well, to be honest, I think the preamble you're giving to that is much more endearing than just coming out with what's your name. Like, like if you'd have said, this is so weird. I've been buying coffee from you for a year and I've never asked you your name. It feels like we're friends. What's your name? You know, that would have been much more cleaner in a sense. But you definitely gave some creepy vibes. But
I think she's just like a lot of baristas in this time, she's very good at dealing with people who have forgotten how to speak to people.
Yeah, who are lonely.
Yeah.
But I will be disappointed if I can't go back, because they don't just make great coffee. They also make this delightful smarty cookie that I'm holding now.
Oh, wow.
And I'll just whack that against the mic now.
So unfortunate. Why would you do that?
and it seems like it's pretty standard fare in Australia, or at least in Sydney. I don't want to speak for any of the other locations in Australia, but it seems like you go to a cafe in Australia, you can get a smarty cookie pretty easily. I'd say there's like a roll of the dice. There's like a, you know, if it comes up even, they're going to have a smarty cookie. Do you know what I mean, Michael?
I mean, it's a staple.
It's a staple.
Yeah. It's like on the food pyramid. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But these particular smarty cookies, I've never had a finer smarty cookie. First of all, let's talk about, and do you know what I've done, Michael? I've lulled you into a snack report without you even realizing. Ben, we have a segment on this program where I talk about the food that I'm eating and Michael is not into it.
I hate it because as a radio professional, I think that eating while talking into a microphone is, broadly speaking, an insult to the audience. That's what I think, Ben.
Mm-hmm. And yet our listeners love it, can't get enough. I'll tell you what I love about this, guys. If you look here, without the Smarties overlapping, which I think would be a problem in terms of structure, you could not get better Smartie coverage than this. Do you know what I mean? There's not any empty space on this Smartie cookie where you could go, oh, Smartie could go there. Do you know what I mean?
I do like the little bottom cluster. There's a little cluster at the bottom.
There is.
There is
a little...
The proximity between them is a little closer, and it's like they snuck an extra one in there for you.
We call that the mother load. That's where...
And it's great because as you eat that, it sort of tells a story. Do you know what I mean? There's a big finish in terms of Smarties. Mm-hmm. As you eat towards the base of the cookie, you're going to get more and more Smarties, which is what you want out of a Smartie.
And that's a great thing.
Or there's a big start, because with a round cookie, you can't really say what the beginning is of it. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just on going to cafes and stuff, something I've always wondered, and this is definitely an awkward question to ask, but Ben Lee, as someone who is, I guess, has been in the public eye for, I don't know, 20-odd years now in Australia, do you, and so when you go to a cafe and someone asks your name and you go, oh, my name's Ben, how, like, on what proportion of times are you recognised as being, like, the singer-songwriter Ben Lee, or does it just not happen?
It's a bit hard to tell. Like, I if it's sincere, that's great, actually, because I don't have the desire. I'm not one of those people who's like, God, I need to be recognized everywhere I go and I want to feel like the most important thing. But it is annoying when people do know who you are and they want to make you say your name. Like, it's almost like a type of hostility where people be like, what's your name or what do you do? It's like, would you even say that to a normal other person in the dog park? You
know? Yeah, that's true. And it's like, what name should I write on the lid? It's like, you've already written Ben Lu. Like, I can see that you've written...
It's also funny if someone writes your full name on a coffee. That's a funny thing to do.
Yeah, totally. Benjamin Michael Lee, born September 11, 1978. I was like, I think you know enough.
Yeah. Well, this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. Ben, are you much of are you an online shopper? Do you buy things online? Do you use Facebook Marketplace at all? Secondhand garage sales? What do you do?
My wife does a lot of that, like Facebook Marketplace and Gumtree and stuff. I am a sucker for my targeted Instagram ads. So basically, like, target me with anything and I'll buy it. I actually recently bought the Vegemite beanie. Which you may have seen advertised.
You've given it a definite article, like it's something that I should know about.
The amount of times I was targeted with it, I just assumed everybody else was. I assumed it would be like as ubiquitous as it is in my Instagram feed. Got one of those.
Is this just a beanie with Vegemite written on it?
Yeah, it's yellow and red. It's pretty. Okay. I bought one of those. Whitehead sucking machines
and I will say that your paws look incredible, but
yeah, they're glowing. Fantastic.
You're glowing.
But I don't generally get too deeply into classifieds. I think that's more like definitely like my wife is more of the like shopper and like hunting around and stuff.
Sure. Well, we've got a selection of actually just on targeted ads. Have I talked about the spinning top on the podcast?
No, you haven't, Michael.
Okay. So, you know, the algorithm on Instagram has worked out, Ben's, that I would like nothing more than a calming top to spin in this lockdown pandemic, right? And I don't know, I've never expressed an interest in spinning tops before, but somehow I just knew that that's the thing I want, is a little top I can spin and watch while it spins, and it's very calming.
I love it. That's great.
And it started off, right? That I feel like as I click, you know how like there's that thing that on YouTube, the more YouTube videos you watch, you are more likely to become radicalized or whatever, that sort of rabbit hole thing?
Yeah.
That's what's happened to me with spinning tops. I was advertised a spinning top, I reckon about a year ago. It was just a little plastic spinning top. It was like $10 or whatever. And I was like,
oh, it started as just a plastic one.
And I didn't buy it.
Entry-level top.
I thought, I don't want to just... It's a waste. I'm like, of course it's a calming thing to watch, but I recognize that it's a waste. It's just a spinning top. I don't need this. Over the last year, the tops being advertised to me are more elaborate. They are more, they're shinier.
They're like swastikas on them.
Yeah.
They say Proud really... Boys.
Yeah, that's how they get you. That's how you get in.
No, at this point, all right, the current spinning top that's been advertised to me for the last couple of months is
Craig Kelly's face.
Yeah.
It's a fully titanium. Beautiful. Bright blue spinning top, right? Uh-huh. That costs.
I want it.
Yeah, Ben, are you just imagining that bad boy?
$400 US.
$400 US,
right?
That's cheap for what it is.
And I'm like, and the thing is, I know this is a terrible purchase, and I'm not going to buy it. I've promised myself I'm not going to buy it. But on my Instagram, it's like calling to me. It's calling to me, and it's all I fucking want is this fucking spinning top, and I can't get it out of my.
Do you know
every
what
website
I
go to? More spinning top ads.
Do you know what I think has happened potentially with all three of us with the Instagram algorithm? Because you're getting a lot of Vegemite beanie ads, Michael. You've got top spinning top mania, and I am being advertised almost exclusively surprisingly heavy cubes. Do you guys ever get these ads?
No. What is that? That doesn't even spin.
No. Almost by definition, it doesn't spin. Not only because of its shape, but because of its heft. It's like a cube that is probably the size of, I don't know, like a couple of dice put together. And the whole thing is like, you won't believe how heavy this cube is.
What? You hold the cube and it's made of a slightly heavier metal than you would expect.
Yeah, I guess it's made of like tungsten or something. I don't know.
And is it used like, do you throw it through an enemy's window or something? What are you doing with
The only selling point that I can see in whenever these cubes are advertised, because they're little Instagram videos, is somebody putting it in their hand and going, wow. So it's not like so heavy that it like pins you to the earth. It's just like,
do you know what's so weird about that? That like, if someone had a cube and I walked past them and they were like, oh my god, you would not believe how heavy this is. I'd be like, oh, sure. I'll pick that up. I'll have a go. Put that in my hand and see. Let's see. Let me be the judge of that.
Let me see
if that really is a surprisingly heavy cube. But I'm not sure I'd pay for the experience.
Well, also Ben, if walking past somebody and saying, "Hey, can I have a go of that cube?" about which I have no prior sort of conceptions about the weight. is the best way to enjoy this cube.
Uh-huh. Well, you'd be watching people struggling with it. You'd see people like, you'd see them like going, oh, can you hold, can you help me with this? Wait, give me a boost. I'm getting under it. I've got to, like, you know.
Yeah, with your knees. Lift my surprisingly heavy cube with your knees. But if you are the person least likely to be surprised by the heft of this cube is the person who has purchased after being advertised for so long,
a
surprisingly
sure.
heavy cube. It's like when you say to somebody, hey, guess how much this cost?
Yeah.
And you have to be like, oh, fuck, do they think it's going to be less or more? And you have to sort of adjust in your head.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel I'd be with the cube. My point is, though, I think the Instagram algorithm has basically looked at all our posts, looked at what we look at, and basically gone, I don't fucking know. How about this? With all three of us.
And it's worked every time.
It's worked every time.
But you know the other thing about those algorithms, I think that, because it's similar with TikTok, like obviously with TikTok, with things you like, it goes into the algorithm, right? But they also notice how long you pause on things. Even if you don't like it. So these algorithms are also designed to sell you things that you're embarrassed to like or that you wouldn't officially go on record. So I know that this interest in different weights of cubes is it's like a little shameful in our society. Like it's a little taboo.
But
it has noticed that when they show you a cube, you do kind of linger on the video and you're like, geez, I wonder how heavy that cube is. And they're like, okay, he's a few more exposures and he's going to buy this shit.
All right. Well, this is a podcast where we go through the week's cubes and find the best and worst things to
Did
talk about.
Did you mean
about.
To say cubes?
You just said cubes.
Did I? We're classified. Sorry.
By the way, we have started doing ads on this podcast every now and again. And if any aficionados or any sort of captains of heavy cube industry want to get in touch, I'm happy to review your cubes.
Oh, I can't believe you are selling out and getting in bed with Big Cube.
With big, surprisingly heavy cube.
Yeah, Big Cube. The Big Cube industry is corrupt. They've taken down the best podcasts.
Yeah, don't you understand? Used to be about the cubes, man. Now it's all about the money. This
Joe Rogan is just shilling for cubes and ivermectin.
So this isn't strictly classified. This is a sign that was sent in that someone saw in a shop window. This was sent in by Maletta Rien. Thank you, Maletta.
Thank you,
and
Maletta Rien.
I've titled the it's in our Google Drive if you want to click on it. It's just it's an A4 sheet of paper that's been stuck in a shop window, and it's handwritten sign that just says, "Did you buy our giraffe costume on Saturday the 2nd? Please call in urgently." And urgently is underlined twice. And if you look at the shop, it's sort of a secondhand shop is what it looks like. Maybe there's a little bit of costumey stuff in there.
Yeah, it looks to me to be like a Sees flashback.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the first place I went. But
it's like a retro shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these people have sold someone a giraffe costume, you know, a couple of days beforehand. And for whatever reason, they need to be urgently contacted. All right, let's just do some guesses, some classic guesses. Why do we think this? Under what circumstances would a person who's purchased a giraffe costume urgently need to contact the person who's sold that?
Because, well, I mean, look, if you were, and I'm not saying this happened. I'm definitely not saying this happened. But if you were to have a giraffe costume for sale, but you also had a giraffe that you didn't want to sell, and due to a sort of mislabeling error, and someone was going to try and climb into the body of a real giraffe and wear it to a fancy dress party,
horrifying.
I think that would be urgent.
Okay. Yep. That's one option.
I'm not saying, Michael and Ben, I'm not saying that's likely. I'm just saying that that's a possibility.
You know how sometimes in these antique shops, or whatever, these secondhand stores, and I haven't spent a lot of time in them, but I've occasionally gone antiquing, you know, maybe a couple of times in my life. Occasionally you'll ask the owner about something and then they'll just say, oh, that's not for sale. Like I remember specifically, I remember being in a secondhand record store in Barrel, or a shop that sold lots of things, including secondhand records in Barrel. This is probably like 3 or 4 years ago. And I saw a vinyl of that Miles Davis album, Kind of Blue. And I thought, I don't have this on vinyl. I occasionally buy vinyls. That's part of one of the defining traits of my personality because I have nothing else in my life.
You buy both flat, round vinyls and Funko Pop vinyls. Those are your two kinds of vinyls.
And I took it up the can, and the guy was like, oh, actually, this isn't for sale. And just was like, wouldn't sell it to me. And I don't know if he sort of saw me and judged me and said, frankly, I don't think you deserve this album. Or if it genuinely wasn't for sale, it could have just had maybe the owner had the owner of the shop had a specific emotional attachment to the giraffe costume. Is my theory?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I see what you mean. That was like
he regrets it. He regrets it.
Exactly. Basically. Yeah. Exactly. He doesn't want it, and he wants it back now. You know, or maybe maybe another staff member sold it, not realizing how special it was to the owner.
I think I'm picturing a similar type of character, like a very weird, you know, like a Steve Buscemi type, running the antique shop, like in Ghost World or something, like a collector. Mm-hmm. And, but he's the kind of guy that doesn't quite, he has a hard time speaking to women.
Sure.
And you know, the type of woman that struts into an antique store and makes an impulse purchase of a giraffe costume. Mm-hmm. He's so out of practice with dating that like it played on his mind after he was like, I just let a woman walk out of my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't even ask her name. She's been coming in here for 1 year.
For a whole year.
And a whole year. I didn't even ask her name. And I was like, this is the beginning of our love story.
And I genuinely woman is a kind of Zooey Deschanel type.
Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh. Yes. She's a, what do they call it? Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Yeah, yes. She's gonna... That's what is. It's Steve Buscemi. It's the Manic Pixie Dream Girl buying the giraffe costume. Now, what he doesn't realize, though, is she's actually buying it to as part of some sexual games that is involved in. She's a furry. Uh-huh. And she's got a furry convention coming up that she's going to be attending with her boyfriend. And so it's destined for disaster anyway, but you can sense his yearning in the sign.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, this is the second romantic comedy you've pitched to us on the podcast, Ben Lee. And I didn't know this was a new thing you're into, like writing Hollywood scripts. But I'm loving the vibe.
I think it's a solid pitch. I think
it's
also
just romantic. It's romantic.
If we wanted to take it down the crime caper avenue, she's buying it so she can break into the zoo. And and steal the gorilla's jewels. Now, hear me out.
Why does the gorilla have jewels, Ben? Why does the gorilla have jewels?
Well, see, you're interested now. That's it. You're interested. Why does this gorilla have so many precious rubies and emeralds? Well, that's for the second reel of the film, Michael. That's for the second reel of the film.
I saw a sign in a window once around Christmas time. It was a music shop in the Sydney CBD. I think it was Alan's Music or one of those shops on Pitt Street, one of those big music shops. And it was a similar vibe to this. It just handwritten. It just said, yes, !! We sell harmonicas.
Don't even ask.
Yeah.
Don't even ask.
Stop
no need.
Coming in here and bothering the staff, asking us. Yes, we sell harmonicas, you idiots.
Harmonicas are probably quite a good stocking stuffer, right?
Ooh.
Like right now, I can't think of anything worse to give to a child than a harmonica.
Yeah, I feel like if you had a child and you gave them a harmonica, that's a world of pain you're in for.
Speaking of
which, would your son like a harmonica for Christmas, Ben?
If you send Moses a harmonica, I will come to your house and kill you with a hammer.
Could this be an ongoing fun prank, Ben, that I send your child louder and louder gifts every year for his birthday, for Christmas, that kind of thing? Do you think...
Yeah, I mean, look, it could be a funny ongoing prank that I kill you with increasingly large hammers every time you do it. Oh, man.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And do you guys want one? Do you guys want one from there? Again, this is, I feel like we've invited We've invited Ben Lee onto the podcast, and we've told him that it's a podcast about classifieds, and we're yet to read a classified.
Oh, yeah. It's just that we've run out of classifieds on the internet. I mean, if you do have classifieds...
Well, I don't, Michael, because this is a job offer.
Sure. Okay. But, well, do send them to us via our Facebook page or whatever. Do that. But Ben, what
still,
have you got for us?
It's still the sort of thing that probably would have existed in the classified pages, because you could go there and see. Do you remember that, guys? Do you remember when you were looking for a job and you could go to the newspaper? And you could look at the... This is a new thing I'm doing. I'm doing sort of ABC local radio.
Local radio.
Talk. Yeah. Do you remember when the milkman would come by with his big bag of milk? Call in. Yeah. But anyway...
I've got a link to this, by the way. I'll put it in the chat if you want it. There you go.
Okay. So this was... This is a job offer. Mm-hmm. It's from Careers at Village Roadshow.
Okay.
It's for a male performer. The work type is casual. The rate is $32.51 an hour, which I imagine is specific enough to be probably a ward.
Uh-huh.
And this is at Movie World.
Warner Brothers Movie World? Hollywood on the Gold Coast?
Warner Brothers Movie World at the Gold Coast. Now, for international listeners, Warner Brothers Movie World is a place where dreams come true.
It's like our Universal Studios, I guess.
Well, but crucially, it's Warner Brothers.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's, you don't go there asking where all the Universal properties are, because somebody on a podcast said this was like Universal Studios.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean, Michael?
Mm-hmm. And what's the job for, Ben?
Okay. Warner Brothers Movie World is currently casting Scooby-Doo's best friend Shaggy and Batman rival The Joker. This is a fantastic opportunity to work at Australia's premier theme park on the Gold Coast. With great flexibility and close access to Village Roadshow Studios, applicants must be able to portray the characters with strong improvisational skills. Now, I've read this out a couple of times because I really need to answer. I think probably the most pressing question that I can see. Ben's face is lit up. I've seen your face light up, Michael. Mm-hmm. You both want to know, are we asking for the same actor to play both these parts?
Well, it says... must be able to portray the characters. So characters,
absolutely.
Plural.
Absolutely. And also it says the Joker / Shaggy for male performer singular. So
yeah.
This is absolutely looking for somebody to be able to play, let's say, before the lunch crowd, Shaggy, and then after your lunch break, the Joker.
Yeah, because obviously, or even into the evening, you might want to play the Twisted Prince of Comedy himself, the Joker.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Ben Lee, I know you've been in at least one film, Raging Placid Lake, which is a film that actually we reference, or I reference on this podcast, a strange amount, I have to say.
That's odd.
Australian.
It's just sort of that and Hugh Jackman's The Prestige comes up a lot as well.
That's a good film. Yeah.
I'll tell you why I reference Raging Placid Lake a lot, Ben Lee, is because it's really good shorthand for the phenomenon that the film explores, which is like a... child becoming conservative because they have progressive parents, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there's any other pop culture touchstone that does that.
Mm. Well, the only other one is Family Ties.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. That Michael J. True. Fox's character, J. Fox's Alex P. Ties. Keaton. Yeah. Yes.
did you watch a lot of Family Ties in preparation for your role as
I watched a lot of it anyway, but I think that's part of what attracted me to the role.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, this is like an Australian Family Ties. I want to live this. I loved it.
Well, Ben Lee, you've been in films. Have you ever met an actor, and you can include yourself in this, that would have the range to be able to play both the Clown Prince of Crime, the Joker, and Scooby-Doo's best friend Shaggy?
I actually don't think it's that big a stretch.
What are you talking about?
Okay, think about Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. I could see him playing Shaggy.
Okay.
Do you think Joaquin Phoenix would work for $32.51 an hour?
Actually, fuck. I think you might be right, because I think in Paul Thomas Anderson's Inherent Vice, he kind of does play Shaggy.
Yeah, that's a Shaggy kind of thing. I'm trying to think in Australia who we could... I could see Damon Herriman doing both of these.
Here's the thing, though. Doesn't it kind of depend on which Joker you're doing? If you're doing... which Joker does Warner Brothers want? Do they want Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker? In which case, I would suggest that if kids are coming up to you as Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker to get photos taken with you, that's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.
Well, Michael, let me answer that question, because they very specifically answer that in this. They say they're looking for the Joker specifically that, due to their licensing agreement, is in the height range of 178 centimeters to 191. So that just clears that up. And
or is it more of that the sort of that 1960s more camp Joker?
Oh, the Cesar Romero Joker.
Yeah, maybe that's closer to what
I think. I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but fuck, that is one of my favorite performances of all time, the Cesar Romero Joker. Not least of all because he quite famously, when he wasn't playing the Joker, had a moustache. That was like one of his iconic looks.
Uh-huh.
And when he was doing the Adam West Batman and they were like, well, the Joker doesn't have a moustache, he said, fuck you. And so quite clearly under all his Joker makeup, he has a moustache, which is so funny when you consider the lengths that people like Jared Leto go to get into the twisted mind of the Joker. They're like, Joker was the guy who was like, I'm not shaving my moustache, fuck off. Anyway...
You know what kind of just blows me away most about this ad that this classified is that it's very rare for big companies like Village Roadshow to make any kind of philosophical or religious claims. Yet they say at the bottom, they say that they're a company that encourages fun, entertaining, and enthusiastic environments while creating joy and memories that last lifetimes. So they are reincarnation stands. And I found that really surprising. Like, I thought, like, look, I think the idea of like creating joy for a lifetime is enough. I'm not asking for future lifetimes. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a lot.
Can you imagine, like, you know, because sometimes people feel like they have memories from past lives. Mm. And it's like significant. They're like, I remember like living on a farm and there's a language I don't understand. And then they talk to like a kind of like person who's in touch with that. And they're like, oh, that language is whatever, blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine being like, I have this memory of going to Warner Brothers Movie World and chatting with the fucking Joker, who, by the way, was doing like kind of a weird Shaggy voice as well. What's that about?
I would like to direct you both to the benefits available to you if you took this job. If you're a successful applicant for this job, you would get, number one, unlimited free entry to our theme parks, including, obviously, Warner Brothers Movie World.
Well, yeah, man, you fucking work there.
Yeah, exactly. We won't charge you to come to work. You will also get food and beverage and retail discounts. So if you would, for example, like a Ben Jenkins or Ben Lee nameplate in the Batman font, that would come to you at a discount. You would get unique team member events. I imagine it's sort of trust building with Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, etc. And also, this is what I like, another one, an opportunity for professional development. So just say after a year, you're like, hey, I'm done with this Shaggy Joker bullshit. Yeah. I would like to be in the Police Academy stunt show. They might be like, okay, fair enough. We'll train you up how to jump off a Wild West roof into a vat of water.
Well, you need that. You don't want to be stuck playing Shaggy and Batman's rival, the Joker, forever.
We don't want to be typecast as Shaggy and or the Joker.
Yeah,
no, it's a little known entry point into the upper echelons of show business, playing these characters at the theme park.
Well, Ben Lee, I noticed in the trades the other day that you've recently been signed with Warner, and what's not known is that your entry to that was being signed with Warner Brothers Movie World to play Shaggy and the Joker.
What's the little pig's name?
Porky Pig?
Yeah, Porky Pig, that's it. It was kind of a rebellious act against like growing up Jewish. Like I just kind of wanted to make the Jewish community like squirm a little bit and feel like they don't own me. You know, and I thought I'll show them. And look, one thing led to another, and signed to Warner for my whole catalog, and it's been really, really good, really lucrative. You know?
You were playing Porky Pig slash Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Inception.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey there, Ben here again with another message from our pals at Rode. Rode are a Sydney-based manufacturer of audio equipment, including the microphone that I'm talking into now. They have some extremely good gear, and the one that I want to talk about today real quick is the Rodecaster Pro. It's an audio interface, but also a complete standalone podcasting studio with a heap of inputs, all with their own dedicated faders. And also I discovered recently the ability to be powered by an external power bank, which is useful if, for example, you need to record a podcast in your car so you don't wake up your son in the middle of a global pandemic, for example. You can find out more at, now there was a bit of confusion last week around the spelling of this website, so let's make this clear. It's www. Dot, and that dot is just a full stop. The kind you'd use in a normal sentence. And then Rode, and you spell that the way that the company spells it. And then com, which is C-O-M. So that's www.rode.com. Right, back to the show.
Speaking of your sort of musical exploits, Ben, I did notice that you've released some new music recently, which we should talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
It just came out this weekend, so I guess if people are listening to this on Monday, you can go find it. It's available streaming everywhere right now. The music clip to this song, Ben, is, I will say, very, very funny. The track is called Born for This Bullshit. Mm. And
I would say it's one of the most insane music clips I've seen in a long time.
I agree.
You're sort of... You're sort of naked, but tastefully covered by a glowing dot, doing a hoedown dance, I guess is how I would
say the moves
it.
Are sort of hoedown meets Magic Mike. Yeah. Although I don't know if those are the moves or because the you're naked.
Yeah. First of all, can I just say, you got a rockin' bod. You're looking great. You're looking
Thank you. it was heavily based on me and Byron Spencer, who directed it. He's a genius. And we were like, we started throwing ideas around. And I was like, I find Elf Yourself really inspiring. You remember those, like, you know, those things where they put your hands on different bodies?
People would be elfing themselves. I remember that. Yeah. There was a time when you couldn't talk to your auntie without being sent to her having elfed herself.
No, that's right. And, you know, aunties are really like a core demographic for me.
Core demographic.
I was like, how do I get to the aunties? And I thought, you know, Elf Yourself. The video is, it is total madness. And, you know, we were sort of like, how far is too far with it? And I just kept going, more is more. Let's do it. I definitely encourage people to check it out. I just think it's nice to, you know, like when I was younger, I've always been just a sort of innately optimistic about things. But I think when you're younger and optimistic, people write it off as like Pollyanna-ish or naive or something.
If
you grow up and take your hits, you know, and grow up and remain optimistic, it just becomes sort of lunacy. And so my brand has evolved.
That's really true though, isn't it? Like you see like an optimistic young person, you're right. You're like, that's naive but sweet. And then you see like an optimistic person who's like in their 30s or 40s and you're like, how has life not crushed you?
Have you survived?
Why is none of this going in? Like what?
Yeah. No, that's right. But that's, I sort of think like in a way, like for instance, like, I mean, without getting like going too far down this road, I don't think this is what the audience for the podcast wants to talk about, but climate change, we have to be solution oriented, and it's very hard to be solution oriented if you're caught up in depression. It's really hard. It's like we need to sit down and take an honest look at the numbers and the statistics or COVID or whatever and go, okay, what solutions are available to us? What can we do? Yeah. Let's make it happen. Because there's literally no other way you can solve a problem, you know?
Yeah, and as I saw you dancing in a pink cowboy hat, naked, with an Elf Myself-sized head, that's exactly the message I got, Ben Lee.
Yeah, man.
It was telegraphed to me loud and clear in the video.
So that's right.
The single is called Born for This Bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's available wherever you stream your music. Where can people see this bonkers film clip? Is it on
YouTube? Yeah, YouTube. Or they go to my socials and it'll link to it. Ben Lee Music. And it's all off an album coming out next year called "I'm Fun" with an exclamation point.
Just how has your pandemic been? As a I would say very optimistic person. How have you found the past sort of 18 months or so?
It's definitely been challenging, but I mean, I'm in two minds, and I'm always probably in two minds. Like, it's challenging, but I also, just the nature of being an artist and surviving in the world means you can't dwell on what's challenging too much. You have to, like, adapt and pivot and change and grow. And so it's more been, like, a challenge for me to sort of, like, just lean into what's actually happening and make the best of it. And that's sort of, yeah, that's sort of how I try and keep my mindset.
How do you view, I'm sure a million people have already asked you this, but obviously with the coronavirus pandemic, your song from a couple of years back, Catch My Disease, has just been everywhere. Like, in people are using it in TikToks, people are, you know, making memes out of it and stuff. What's it like, I guess, having a song that was that big, you know, a couple of years ago, and then having a resurgence for, I guess, something you could never have predicted?
Well, it's funny because
I take issue with that. Sorry, I think he did predict it and possibly caused it.
Yeah, it was part of my deal with Warner. You know, it was like that and We're All in This Together. They both, like, took on these new lives. Yeah. And look, the biggest lesson that came from it ultimately was that you have no control over what happens to your art. Like, you make it, you put it out there, and it's going to be useful in whatever way it's going to be useful. So, yeah, it's good. Oh, and I'm a time traveler. So, you know.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the track listing of your new album, and it's got something about a robot revolution that will kill us all, and another song.
That's a real banger. That's a fun little bop, too.
Another song about Bill Gates and 5G and microchips. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, totally. And one's predicting Grimes and Elon Musk's breakup, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah.
All right, Ben Lee, do you have one final classified for us to bring us home?
Yeah, I do. So I've got this one. Where does this come from, actually?
This one's from Reddit.
Oh, from Reddit.
Someone asked you a question in Reddit. Yeah.
And did somebody send this in, Michael? Or this was
This was from us. This is OG from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's in the section legal advice, and it's been 96% upvoted. So this is clearly a question that applies to a lot of people, and a lot of people want answered. Uh-huh. Here's the heading: can I rent a billboard saying that someone owes me money? It's a great question.
It's a great question.
Okay, let's clarify a little deeper. Uh-huh. The poster I forgot to say is don't open a restaurant. That's the name of the profile. So what we're getting clearly is that someone has opened a restaurant, probably with a partner or a vendor or something. Someone's owned the money, owes them money. They want to figure out what to do. This is the description. Yeah. I have a customer in Texas that owes me a substantial amount of money. I've threatened to rent a billboard right outside his office, making the public aware. Is this even legal? I love it. I love that's his first line of defense.
I've tried calling, I've tried asking, I've tried emailing, and now the next step, billboard, baby.
No Judge Judy or small claims court for this guy. No. This guy's going straight to the billboard. But I also like that he kind of is noting his own absurdity. Like, is this even legal? Yeah. Is usually someone on the receiving end of something says. This guy's like, dude, I just did this. Is this even legal?
Just imagining someone like just beating someone to death, being like, is this even legal?
Are we even allowed to do this?
It's a good question, though. Is it even legal? Sorry, is there more to the post before we?
No, that's it.
That's the
whole post.
Yeah. I guess it would be legal, wouldn't it? Surely it's legal. I can't imagine why it would be illegal.
It's slander. No, someone could sue you for damages if it affected their business and their reputation.
That's true.
I think it comes down to whether it's true or not. But here's my question: we don't really know beyond from the ad copy what his business is, but Ben Lee has sleuthed from his username that he owns a restaurant. Now, here is my question: how can a patron of a restaurant rack up such debt that it would be worth hiring a billboard to recover it?
Totally. Right, like,
what do you think? A billboard's going to cost, what, like, say, like $5,000 or something to put up, probably, I imagine?
It would differ from city to city. From street to street.
I guess of size of board as well. But also, unless there is a pre-existing billboard outside the office, this man would also be commissioning the, like, the construction of said billboard, you know?
Well, I think there is. I think he is, because he said, I'm going to rent a billboard right outside his office.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it sounds like there is one.
There's a billboard there. It's advertising. It might already be a picture of the guy saying how he doesn't owe anybody money. Yes. And that would be maddening from the perspective of the person to whom he owes money.
Do we think this is a succulent Chinese meal kind of guy situation?
Oh, a guy who's done a runner.
The guy who's done a runner, you know, who's frequently doing runners from restaurants, and as a result, has racked up a lot of bills that way. Or
look, it could be.
Do we think this is a situation where he turned up and just had a $10,000 meal, whatever that might be?
Do you think there is a point at which you could keep ordering food at a restaurant until they asked you to stop? like, do you think if you were like, I'll have that, I'll have that, I'll have four of them, do you reckon they'd be like, eventually, like, this is too much food? Or do you think they'd be like, I'll just keep them coming?
I mean, sometimes you're at a restaurant, the wait staff will be like, I think that's enough. I've definitely heard that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like when there's a group of us or something and we order and we're like, we'll get this and this and this. And then I've had wait staff be like, all right, that's enough, guys.
Do you know whenever we're at a restaurant, me and Anya, and we ask that question, we go, is that enough? And they go, every time. It's like they've been like, it's activated them and they have to say it. You go, try this, listeners, and Ben Lee and Michael. When you're next to a restaurant, say, do you reckon that's enough? Here's what they will do every single time. They will look at their pad, they will look at you, and then they'll say, you can always order more. And then you say, like it's the first time you've ever heard it, you know what? We can always order more. That's a really good point. Thank you.
But also, and then you never order more.
Never order.
Because you've already, why do you want to wait another 20 minutes for, extra pappadums?
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? This guy's missing a trick. This guy who wants to rent a billboard to settle his grievances, he's missing a trick. Because as you said, Michael, without knowing the specifics of the street and the location and all that rest of it, billboards are expensive because you've got to put them up, somebody's got to climb a ladder, and you've got to get them designed and whatever else. Do you know what we discovered back at university is like astonishingly cheap, weirdly cheap? And I imagine this would still be the case, if not more so now.
Mm.
You know those ads at movies, not the ones that come after the lights are down, but the ones that are like, hey,
the ones that are playing as you walk in.
Hey, I'm Terry from Terry's Real Estate. You got a house you want to sell? Well, give it to Terry and he'll get you a good price. And then it's like it was those ads that look like they were made in Microsoft PowerPoint.
Yeah.
They are like $40.
Yeah.
Something in the ballpark. It definitely wasn't triple digits.
No. So the trick is if they're a single, because I've recently looked into this, if they're a single frame, and you just a voiceover with a single frame, you can get them for about $45 now. If you want to do like a moving image situation, it's a little bit more because they go for a bit longer. But if you just want to have like a photo of someone and like this man owes me money, $45 is all it costs.
Yeah, and you're really moving into an industry that's just exponentially growing. People going to theaters to see movies and getting there really early and watching all of the ads.
But I wonder if, for example, if you went into, if you could predict that someone was going to be at a movie session and was able to rent out that movie cinema to show an ad specifically about them in that movie cinema, that would be the greatest prank in the world. Like, if you were able to know...
Someone's on a date.
Yeah, exactly. If this guy was on a date, for example, and then you knew that he owed you $10,000 for all the pappadums he ordered at your restaurant, for example, right, and then he did a runner, and then you showed a photo of him on a date... Sorry, you showed a photo of him while he's on his date at the movie theater, which is like, this man owes me $10,000 for pappadums, his photo. I mean, that would be incredible. Imagine the feeling of... Imagine if you were on a date with someone and then their face came up on the screen owing $10,000 for pappadums.
Do you know what else you could do? I'm just running the numbers now, Michael, and you're better with numbers than I. You host a television show called Letters and Numbers. But... If let's say these ads take like 30 seconds, which it feels like they probably do, 30 seconds, that's it's a nice round number, $45 per. Mm-hmm. How much would it cost to basically force the Dendy to run a feature-length film of your own making?
Oh, wow.
Now, is this also calling out someone who owes you a significant amount of money?
No, this could just be me making the Rage in Placid Lake 2.
Right, example, okay.
Where Placid Lake goes to Placid Lake, the Oliver Platt movie, and has to fight an alligator.
I mean, nice. Ben Lee, you've already pitched a couple of movies to us. May we now pitch one to you, where you fight an alligator, apparently.
Love it.
Yeah, I guess, so what you're saying is, Ben, I buy a ticket to go and see Batman or whatever, right? But before Batman goes on, I turn up at 9:30 because that's when the cinema's going to start, the movie's going to start. Before then, though, I watch like a 90-minute movie that you've made under the guise of it being an ad.
Yep.
But it actually is a movie in which Ben Lee, singer-songwriter, award-winning musician, fights an alligator. Possibly. That's what you're suggesting.
I mean, that's just one idea. Oh, man. Ben Lee, this has been an absolute delight having you on. Thank you so much for taking the time to come hang out with us.
You can find Ben Lee's new track, his latest single, Born for This Bullshit. It's available wherever you stream things. You can watch the video of it on YouTube and see him dancing in a pink cowboy hat with his head slightly enlarged. And it's kind of hoedown vibes.
It's some nice socks. Yeah, some good, like, good socks.
Yeah, some great
good socks.
Sort of almost, yeah.
Ben, I thought I might take this opportunity to shout out some people who have reviewed our podcast.
Sick.
Because, you know, hey, what are we if not what are we if not internet people who require validation? This person, because I worked out on iTunes, you can actually check reviews from other places that aren't just Australia. So I've done that. Amor Nicole in the USA has given us 5 stars and said, shockingly good for a podcast that is 70% references to the Hugh Jackman film The Prestige.
The other 30% is the Rage in Placid Lake.
Yes. And also Little Mountain 93 in the US also has written 5 stars. I used to listen to edifying content, but now I'm addicted to this absolute fucking nonsense. So thank you. Thank you for writing those reviews. If you want to get in contact with us.
Yeah, if you'd like to leave a review, you can do so. There's no law against it. It's like ordering more at a restaurant. You can just do it.
You could leave a review you could leave a fake review of any of the many movies that we've been pitched today. You know, give you a little film review of those on iTunes. Also, if you want to find us, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ Free to a Good Home Podcast. If you've got a classified you want to send us, you can do it there on our Facebook page, or you can post it to our Facebook group or tweet it at FTAGHpod. Or I guess if you know where comedian Tom Walker lives, you can print it out, tie it to a brick and throw it through his window.
That always gets back to us because he calls and goes, what the fuck? So it's double handling in a way, but...
I'm really excited, Ben, because this weekend, October 2nd, is the debut of Celebrity Letters and Numbers on SBS. I would love everyone to watch it. I looked in the paper today. It got, frankly, a paltry 3-star review in the paper, but it read like a 4. It read like a 4, in my opinion.
You can take the boy out of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. But
And just, you know, it was like there was only 20 people watching it, but they were a good 20. They were a good 20.
Please, what are you got coming up, watch, man? Please watch Letters and Numbers, because Hing's pretty sure that Chortle's in tonight. It'd be great if you could make a lot of noise. Support him there. It is a very great show, wonderful format, with some of your favourite guests from Free to a Good Home on it, and also some people who've never been on this show. Fuck them. So that's it from us. Thank you again so much, Ben Lee, for joining us. And until next week,
bye! If you like pina coladas, get caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain. If you like making love at midnight, in the dunes of the Cape. I'm the love that you've looked for, write to me and escape.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.